Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hi, it's Rose.
Hey, it's Lisa. Welcome to another episode of Punk Brats. Hey, Rose, what's up?
Oh, a lot is going on this month, Lisa. It's been a very busy month.
Very busy, right? It's February, the romantic month.
It is, but for me, it's not necessarily Valentine's romance for me.
Really? Why? Oh, yeah. Because it's yours and Craig Boo's anniversary. When y'all first met.
Yes. Well, we celebrate Friday the 13th because I actually met my future husband on a Friday the 13th in February. Day before Valentine's Day, so that's the day we celebrate.
In a really cool dive bar, right? Like in LA?
Yeah, a really cool dive bar called The Garage. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was called The Garage, and it was in right in Hollywood.
Oh, how cool. Pretty cool. Well, happy day anniversary to you guys. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Romantic. That's still romantic though. Speaking of romantic, I inherited a son-in-law this month. Our oldest daughter got married. And so congratulations to Caitlin and Derek.
Yes. I'm so proud of them. My firstborn niece.
Wow. Yeah. Caitlin Rose is actually named after Rose. So, and our grandmother. So, the name just continues and, what a wedding.
What a it was spectacular.
I felt like I was at a military brats get together because of the diversity.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we had a family come from everywhere. Which our family was like a family awesome. Reunion too, which was really cool.
We had our Spanish side, our Korean side, our friends.
We had everyone from Hawaii, DC, Florida.
Yeah. California.
How can I forget California? Our aunts and uncles. It was just a really beautiful and lovely family reunion.
Oh my gosh. It was fun. And then we got to celebrate the Super Bowl the next day. Oh, wait. Let's go back.
Yeah. Well, Caitlin's wedding was actually on Chinese New Year, Lunar New Year. In Korean, we call it Seollal. And it was really cool because we had all our family with us. So we were able to go up to all our elders and wish them a happy new year in Korean, which is Sehe Bok Mani Padaseo.
Right. And it's Year of the Dragon.
It's Year of the Dragon. So
I'm not a dragon.
I'm not either. But I know that Asians want their children to be born in Year of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah. Like something. Well, I'm a Year of the Pig. I'm a oink oink. I'm a pig.
Oh, well, Craig and I are both roosters.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, you guys are roosters. Cool.
At one point, I collected like all things roosters. And then
I remember your kitchen.
Right. And then it became like, what is it? Like shabby chic to have roosters in your kitchen. And I got rid of them because it was like, I can't be trendy. I have to do everything against the grain.
Year of the Rooster. Oh. Chris, my husband is Year of the Monkey, which is why your children, who are also Year of the Monkey, call him Monkey Boo instead of Emo Boo, which means uncle in Korean. And his production company, who also produces Punk Rats, is called Monkey Boo Productions.
Mm-hmm. So, all stems back to the Lunar New Year. That's right.
So all you dragons out there, happy Year of the Dragon to you all. And then, and then the Super Bowl happened.
Yeah, the party continues into the next day.
Oh my gosh. It never stopped. We had so many generations of cousins at my house. We even had second cousins representing. It was so beautiful. We had five families, representing, and it was so much fun. And even though my team didn't go, and y'all know my team's the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, I said it, Rose. Dallas Cowboys.
Now I got to plug the Giants because you mentioned the Cowboys. It's my team.
But hopefully we did all
come together as our teams got eliminated so one by one to come together for Craig's team.
Yeah.
The Lions. it was kind of cool because like it was almost like the whole country was rooting for the Lions.
You know what? That's exactly what I was telling Chris. Is like I felt like I never really paid attention to the Lions, even though I'm sorry, Craig, but they're Lions. You know, they're out there. But man, in the last few weeks of leading up to the Super, you know, like the excitement in the playoffs, mm-hmm. a lot of Lions, a lot of support. So maybe next year we'll see.
Yeah.
And what else is happening in February? It's crazy for everybody, right? The calendar.
I was looking up like significant things in February that I wanted to share with everybody. I mean, there's the obvious, like, you know, Groundhog Day, February 2nd, which, by the way, the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, he did not see his shadow.
Oh, he did not.
It'll be in early spring.
Nice.
Which is great. And we're feeling that today because I think it's in the 80s.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day today.
Right?
Well, Central Texas tomorrow, we can wake up to snow. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And then some significant holidays for us would be Four Chaplains Day, which is February 3rd. And that honors four military chaplains who sacrificed their own lives to save the lives of fellow service members during World War II. And that's celebrated every February the 3rd. And another significant one is the USO birthday, February 4th. And most of you, I think, know that the USO provides like live entertainment for
the USO
soldiers.
Uh-huh. Like Bob Hope USO?
Yes, like Bob Hope USO.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a corporation, a nonprofit that provides live entertainment for troops stationed overseas. Well, not just overseas, but like all over the world for like armed forces members and their families.
You and I volunteered when we were younger. We still have our certificates, I think. Don't you have yours?
Yeah, I have mine for Desert Storm. Mine. Like it was like the early 90s when we
worked at Tent City in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they called it Tent City because all those white tents were set up because it was where the soldiers checked in before they flew out to Iraq or Afghanistan. Yep.
Exactly. And well, it wasn't Afghanistan at the time.
It would just be Iraq. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was the first one. It was Desert Storm. But, so they were flying from the United States and that was their pit stop. And then they were going.
But remember, you and I just came home from college and Dad, we didn't even have 24 hours. And Dad goes, oh, I signed y'all up for some volunteer work. And we were like, what? And then we were so happy because at first we were like, oh, we wanted to go out and, you know, see what Frankfurt was like because we hadn't lived in Frankfurt. It was our first time coming to Frankfurt because Mom and Dad moved away.
I know, but it was the most amazing experience, I got to tell you.
Very.
I mean,
touching, a learning lesson in life.
Yeah, and talking to soldiers at the time who were my age. I guess I was like 18, 19.
I was 8. I was in college.
You were 18, so I was like 19 I was 18. Or 20.
You were 20.
Yeah.
It was at Christmas we came home. It was my first year in college.
Yeah, and just hearing their stories because we didn't know what to expect. I mean, we hadn't really been in like in a hot war, you know, up until that point, especially people our age.
Because we had heard for years. Remember when we were in Japan and they always said, what was that movie with the atomic bomb? What was that movie called? The Day After.
The Day After.
And remember, we were all freaked out like, oh my God. And we did all those little tests in school, like to get under your chair and table or whatever, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, and we always thought that was going to happen. I mean, that was the scary thing in the 80s was the atomic bomb.
True.
And then so when Desert Storm really happened, that when they actually declared war and to wake up to that, it was an eye-opener.
And to see them coming in and knowing that we're like the last stop that they're going to see before they get on the plane. And
yeah, the hugs we gave. I remember all the hugs. And
gosh, I don't know how many hugs we gave. And to see like their emotions and talk about, I love talking to them like about their loved ones back home.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, my girlfriend back in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, she gave me this and they'd show me that, you know, like a trinket or
and knowing you and me. Knowing you and me, we had on some type of heavy metal t-shirt. Probably. So I'm sure we attracted the heavy metal folks to come and talk to us. But, you know, men and women. And it was just incredible and sad because, like you said, to see kids our age going off to defend us.
It was a reality check for me, for sure. And that's all part of being, you know, part of the military.
That's the patriotism. And that's why we are military brats, because I mean, we lived through our parents who served and we understand.
Yeah. Well, like we start our show off, we got served.
We got served. That's for
That's
sure.
That's it. I mean, I can't even think of anything more accurate than that. So,
yeah. Well, okay. Let's bring this conversation back up. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, God bless America. God bless our veterans.
Yeah. President's Day, the third Monday in February, always. George Washington's birthday, kind of.
That's right.
But got replaced with President's Day. George Washington is one of my favorite presidents. The Coast Guard Reserve birthday, February 19th.
Happy birthday.
And I guess the only other significant thing really going on, Lent. Oh my gosh, did you give
it? Oh, it's a leap day. It's a leap year.
Oh, that's right. I didn't
29
even,
days.
I didn't even.
I have friends
that.
Who got married on leap day. So they only celebrate their anniversary every 4 years. And it's cool because they're in Turks and Caicos right now.
That's so cool.
Well, you so they save themselves every 4 years to go on a good trip.
3 years.
And yeah. That's what they do.
That would be cool, like just to plan a trip every 4 years, mm-hmm. go somewhere, you know? I don't know. I do kind of like celebrating with Craig every February, though.
We celebrate every day. We don't need a date. It's just, we love our men.
No, that's true. Did you give up anything for Lent?
Nothing. So about 4 or 5 years ago, one thing for me for Lent, I used to give up coffee for like 20 years. I gave up coffee, but I just want to continue to do better. And now with this new, my side gig I'm doing with this Hats Off for Veterans nonprofit mm-hmm. stuff, I am just learning to give back as best as I can through Lent. Like during Lent, I'm going to just be a better person, give back.
Really
I know
cool.
you like to make sacrifices. And what have you given up?
I gave up drinking all liquids except for water, still water. Because as you know, I do love carbonated water.
Yeah.
And I not like drinking flat water at all. Like,
it sounds boring. It sounds really boring.
It is really boring, especially every time I open up my refrigerator.
Wait, is alcohol included as liquids?
Yes.
Shoot.
Alcohol.
I was like, you could put a little bit of Tito's in your water.
No, nothing. It's just straight up water.
Oh, dang.
And it's so boring. I'm telling
Sorry.
You. This is the first year I've tried this. You should on social media, you know? And it's not just about giving up. I'm giving up things, but it's just like, you know, it's got to be something that you're sacrificing. Like, that's the way I do it.
No, so. I totally understand that. You know what? I would give up social media if I didn't have, like, if we didn't have to push out the stuff that we push out, like Punk Rats and Hats Off and all that, you
Absolutely.
Know?
No, but, I totally get it.
But hey, every day for us, I mean, Rose and I, we try to do what, you know, do good upon others. It's the way we were raised. And that's mm-hmm. the only advice I can give y'all out there is just be a good person, make good choices. It's so easy. It's a yes or a no. So, okay, right. I'm done being a mom to everybody. what do you got for, did you know?
Well, this month is going to be in honor of Black History Month.
Nice. Okay.
February is Black History Month, as you know. I mean, even when we were growing up during school, remember the door decorating contests and all that?
Yes.
It was so much fun.
I love decorating the doors in elementary school, even through middle school, I think.
Yeah. So this next one, what I'm going to bring up comes to me from a friend. And I thought it was really interesting, and I saved it for Black History Month. I was going to do it a couple of months ago, but it was shared with me that in 1946, the Department of Defense created the Dodd School System, and a group of teachers were hired that year and sent to a location in Germany to create a school for the dependents of U.S. military personnel in that area. The commanding officer at this installation was a white Southern Army colonel who wanted separate facilities for those children who were not white. So in response, these educators prepared a memo that was circulated throughout the school system in Europe. And in so many words, they said that they were going to teach all the children in one school system and not treat any child differently because of their race. Well, I know. The colonel apparently stuck to his guns and said, obey the order. Well, General of the Army at the time, Dwight Eisenhower, he was then Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force Commander. He caught wind of what was going on, and so he summoned that army colonel in question and sent a directive concurring with the educators. So Eisenhower eventually relieved that colonel and sent him back to the United States.
Yeah, get out of here.
Basically ending, pretty much
ending. Get your ass out of here.
So, you know, I know things didn't change overnight, and it would still be years before, like, MLK pretty much galvanized the civil rights movement, but rats in Europe... You know, in October 1946,
they
pretty much received an important lesson in race relations in the school system many of us eventually would attend. So,
Wow. And that's the birth of the dog school.
Story.
Mm-hmm. No, thank God he was open-minded and did that, because I mean, it's the best experience of my life was going to a dog school. I mean, yeah, that's why we're doing Punk Brats, you know? I exactly. mean, that's why there are organizations out there that keep brats together. Speaking mm-hmm. of, what did we just do?
Yes, our meetup that we just did with overseas brats.
That was fun at the Saltgrass.
In San Antonio. Cool. That was a lot of fun. Oh my gosh. I'm going to be honest with you. That was my first meetup. I know you've gone to several.
This is my second.
Your second one. Okay. That was my first time. I didn't really know what to expect. I just, you know, thought, oh, we're going to go and like have lunch and they'll
mix and mingle.
Be a few words.
Yeah, mingle. Share a story.
But it was so much more than that.
It was
what was really amazing to me is the diversity in the room, you know, the age, you know,
the
there
age
was like
was
people
range.
That were, you know,
even younger than me.
I think there was someone that was in high school in the 40s, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think the oldest person in the room was definitely possibly close to their 80s. Or no, I know that one of the gentlemen told me he was 85. And then when one of the young ladies told me that she had graduated from my same university and shared her year, that put her a couple of years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the age range in the room was from 50 to the 80s. And so, and that's why we need to get the word out about our military communities, because brats come in all ages. We're not just old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I just want to spread the word brats to come out and say, hey.
Yeah, to congregate too.
Thank
and
you,
to
yeah.
share these stories, because as they were telling their stories, I was like, wow, you're 30 years older than I am. However, we have the same story. And I say this podcast. It's the shared experience.
Yeah.
You know, the same shared emotions, the experiences.
Yeah.
The details are different, but
speaking
the emotions
of,
are the same.
You just saying that the shared experiences, that leads up to our upcoming guest here, which we're going to bring her in here any second. We're almost mm-hmm. going to wrap it up here, but she telling her stories about like how she was a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, and how she liked to have fun. You know, like when we didn't have the mic on and we were just going back and forth, you know, you and I and her. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our upcoming guest, Donna Musil.
Yeah, me too. She's a documentary filmmaker and writer, I guess activist too. She wrote and directed the 2006 documentary Brats, Our Journey Home, which is a film about growing up as a child in the military family. So I'm really looking forward to asking her questions about that.
Me too. And I want to ask
some of our experiences.
Yeah. And I want to ask her what it was like to, you know, what Chris Christopherson was like. He's such a cool dude, man. I mean, people always say Willie Nelson is cool, but they forget there was Chris Christopherson too. Like, he just seems so Rico Suave to me. I don't know. For back then, I mean, I know he's like in his 80s now, but he just seemed like
voice.
A cool. Is it in the beard?
It's his voice. Yeah.
He was just like a handsome, cool dude to me when I was a young girl.
He's part of that group, right?
The Clint Eastwoods. Like, those just
boys.
All those.
What is that
I guess, but.
I forget what it's called. It was like Willie Nelson, Chris Christopherson.
Oh, like I know what you're saying.
Guys. Yeah. It was like a group. I can't remember. Anyway, maybe someone will write, text us or email us and let us know.
Well, you ready to bring in Donna?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's bring in Donna. Well, I'd like to welcome Donna Musil to the Punk Brat Studio. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I'm Lisa. Hi, Donna. I'm Rose.
Hi, Rose.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh my gosh. We're actually talking to Donna Musil. We've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
Yes, I'm so excited. You were, when we were laying out the foundation of this podcast and trying to come up with guests, you know, like ideas of who we want to interview, you were on the top of the list. So
aww.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us today. So Donna, we always start off by having our brats tell us a little bit about themselves so that we know, you know, your brat history. So can you start off by telling our audience where you were born, all the places you've lived, you know, a little bit background of your veteran family member, all that. So the goodies.
Okay.
Yes, take it away.
Well, my dad was a JAG officer. He was in the Army. And we like most brats, we moved all the time. So we lived all over the South, and we went to Germany, and then we went to San Francisco, then Korea, then Fort Knox. My dad died when I was 16, and then we moved back to Columbus, Georgia, where I'd actually been born at Fort Benning, which is now Fort Moore. So Fort Benning doesn't exist anymore. And so we went back there, and I spent my senior year of high school there and graduated and went to University of Georgia.
Okay.
So, but I was in, I basically like to say I was in 10 schools in 12 years on three continents.
Wow. That's a lot. The 12 moves, 11 schools. I mean, how do you make friends? How did you adjust to all that?
Well, I was a very outgoing person, so it wasn't that hard for me. When I was making the Bratz film, I learned that it wasn't the same for a lot of other people. So if you're a really shy person, I think that that's a lot more difficult for you. For me, I was okay with it. You know, I was always making friends right away. It was really only until after I grew up that I realized the effect, you know, some of the good but not so positive effects that all that moving has on a human being. But at the time, it was just my life, so I didn't really think about it. It was just like you just picked up and went.
So you bring up the Bratz film, and we're going to get into that. But before we get into that, a question I like to ask all our guests, how do you feel when people ask you, so where are you from? Just that simple question. Where are you from?
Well, before I made the film, I didn't know how to answer that question. I was like, I'm from nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from everywhere. I'm from nowhere. I'm just this floating person. Now I know I am actually a brat. That's what I am. A military brat and a TCK, third culture kid. And that's where I'm from. I'm from a group of people who had similar experiences than I did. Mm-hmm. Not from a particular country or place or that kind of thing. I'm pretty much comfortable anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I love my country, but I'm not super, you know, nationalistic or anything. I love everywhere.
Right. So you mentioned third culture kid, TCK, and that's kind of a newish term for some of our military brats who are not familiar with that or people in general. Can you explain that a little bit?
It's really talks about children who were raised outside their country of origin. So TCKs can encompass a large number of people, from military brats to people that worked for the government or aid organizations or even immigrants. You know, it really encompasses a lot of people that basically were raised in multiple cultures. Right. And the really odd thing about it is that these people, like myself, that was, you know, I was raised in America, Europe, and Asia, that we often have a lot more in common, even though we weren't raised in the same places. It's like being raised in multiple environments makes you this certain kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it other than that. But, you know.
No, I totally relate to that. I have started referring to myself as third culture because, and our audience knows that Lisa and I are half Korean and half American, Puerto Rican descent. My father is of Puerto Rican descent. So, but we were raised, like you said, in Japan and in Europe, Germany, and also Korea. So that one, I guess, wouldn't really be third culture when we lived in Korea. But living in Germany, you know, like it was just
not just living in Germany, moving from Japan to Germany.
Moving from Japan to Germany.
Cultures.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you lived in
Korea, you were not in, your parents weren't in the military at that point, or?
Oh, no, my parents were in the military. Well, my dad was in the military. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've lived in Korea at several different
Rose
points.
Rose was born on the military base in Korea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which one?
So, at Yongsan Army Base outside of Seoul.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were in Seoul for like 6 months, and then we were in Daegu, which is now Daegu.
That is so cool.
A year and a half.
Yeah, so I
was a teenager.
Oh, okay. So I went to Seoul American Elementary School.
Ah, okay. I went to Seoul American High School, middle school, okay. Eighth grade. And then I was in eighth and ninth grade in Daegu.
Okay. I love that picture of you that I found on the internet where you're playing your guitar. You went to school in Korea and you're like at a talent show.
Oh, God.
Do you play guitar? Do you play guitar?
Yes. Well, I used to. When I was younger, I kind of self-taught. I was not a great musician by any stretch. But I would love to like play Joan Baez, you know, songs.
Oh, cool,
I would write
man.
My own songs. And, you know, it was kind
I think
of
that's super
but,
cool. You were yeah. a really cool chick. You would have been a cool girl.
Yeah, yeah, I think we would have been friends.
I think so, too.
Which is cool because actually Lisa and I are both married to musicians. So it's always cool to meet
oh,
another
really?
Musician, especially a military brat. Yeah. Yeah.
And they play sure. music together.
Mm-hmm. I was so, more a writer than a musician. I would write the songs and then, you know, but I wasn't a good enough musician to carry the written.
Yeah.
Song, you know.
Yeah. I picked up the bass and started playing a little because I was influenced by, as I was growing up, like bands like the Go-Go's, you know, and Joan Jett coming out. Playing and I was like, oh, I really want to be a guitar player, but I picked up the bass and I was like, oh, I think this is my love language. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. I just wasn't good.
Yeah, neither am I. That's my point. It's like I would never call myself a musician, but you know, I like to play every once in a while. So you had mentioned the Bratz film. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to the point where you decided, hey, I'm going to make a movie?
You know, it's funny. I was always a writer, and that's what I wanted to do, even though I ended up going to law school and I practiced law for a few years. But I always wanted to be a writer, and I thought I would write books. But I ended up writing a lot of scripts. And at one point I was back home for a holiday or something. And I found my Daegu American High School on the web. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. we had not talked. Now I kept in touch with a few of the people, but you know, it was like right when the internet was starting and I found them on the website and I was like, oh my God, you know, and, and so my sister came in and I'm like, look, this is our people. These are our people. And, so I ended up going to a small reunion because we weren't a big class. I mean, there was right. 10 kids in my ninth grade class, you know, yeah. But we had ended up having this impromptu reunion up in Washington, D.C., and from different years. It wasn't just my year.
Yes.
So we basically got together at a friend's house, and that probably, I don't know, 20 of us or something, 25 people, and maybe it wasn't that many. But we just sat there and talked and played old, you know, Al Green music and danced and connected in a way that I had never connected to people before. And not that I didn't have, I had lots of friends, blah, blah, you know, but it was, and I looked around the room and we were all different races mm-hmm. and backgrounds and work and, you know, all of that. And I was like, and yet we were all saying the same things.
Yeah.
And we're all feeling the same things. And we would stay up until 4 a.m. talking. And I went home after that and I realized there's something going on here. And I don't know what it is. So I started doing some research about Bratz and I came across Mary Wirch's book. Are you familiar with her book?
No.
She's yeah. really the brains behind a lot of this. She wrote a book called Military Bratz, Legacies of Childhood Inside the Fortress. And she is really the first person, I think, that made these connections, like, and put it in a book. And I was reading this book and it had an introduction by Pat Conroy. I don't know if you know who he was, a writer, a very famous writer.
Yes, I'm familiar with him.
Okay, great. Santini.
I'm not, sorry.
And he wrote the introduction to this. And so I reached out to Mary and said, you know, I'm thinking about making a documentary. I had never made a documentary in my life. I mean, I had worked with film and written film scripts and stuff, but I had never made a documentary. And so that kind of started the process. Okay. And then I ended up finding another book called The Narcissistic Family, which don't let that turn you off because it's fascinating, written by Stephanie Donaldson Pressman, who was talking, she wasn't even really writing about military brats. She was just talking about this phenomenon that when you're raised in a family where children's needs are kind of treated second to other things, it doesn't matter what those other things are, whether they're good, positive, bad, you know, whether it's the military or the alcohol, or if you're a preacher's kid, religion, doesn't matter what that first thing is. It all these kids end up having very similar, you know, views of the world, and some very, you know, similar issues that they have to deal with. And so I had her come on. So like Mary kind of put the two things together about, you know, how does being raised a military brat affect you as an adult, and good, bad, and the ugly, you know, everybody's experience is different, even in the same family, right? Because you move at different times of your life. So it affects you differently.
Absolutely.
And so then Stephanie really talked more about, okay, so here's how it can affect you in some of these other ways and what you can do about it, you know? And so I thought, it was 7 years from the time I started that project to the time it was done.
Wow.
And out in the world. And it got made by brats donating money. Donating their time. Chris Christopherson donated.
How did you get Chris Christopherson?
I wrote him a letter.
Wow. I love him.
I love him.
Like, he's cool. Like, he's like a cool dude.
He's a wonderful person. And, you know, I knew from the very beginning, once this project was in, because I interviewed probably 500 brats of all, from like 18 to 80 and over this, and some on paper, some on, on video. And like, people would send me 90 pages typed. I would make everybody fill out a very extensive questionnaire. Uh-huh. And it was amazing. It was like nobody had ever asked them the questions before. Right. Mary did. And she had the same reaction to her people that she asked. Mm-hmm. So after I started making it, and I knew that I wanted Chris Christopherson to do the narration. Mm-hmm. Because of who he was a brat. He was also in the military. I thought he could see this from a variety of angles. Right. And plus, he has a great voice, and I love his music.
Yeah.
So, I wrote him a letter, and his daughter, I wrote it to his agent, and his daughter somehow got a hold of the letter, and they called me that day.
That's awesome.
And said,
I'm so grateful that he did that for the brats, you know, that his celebrity status didn't hinder that. You know, me trying to get, I don't know, Rose and I want to grow this podcast. Of course, we would love to interview, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a celebrity on top of my head who's a military brat right now. Julianne Moore or somebody, you know, but I mean, I guess I'm just, the punk brats just aren't there yet, but this is what I write on my website though. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter if you're rich, famous, or what. We are brats. That's what makes us unique.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to get through to celebrity brats because the people in between you and them don't really understand. Whereas I think Chris's daughter was a brat too, right? So she understood, and he doesn't have I don't think he has a lot of people in between him. So she knew Whereas if you write Julianne Moore, you go to her agent and the agent right. is like, what the heck is this? You know, and they toss it in the trash. She never even sees it. But I also kind of after a while started thinking or started noticing that a lot of like we get our belongingness
right.
from being brats. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Once you become that big of a celebrity, I'm not sure you don't get your belongingness from being the celebrity. You know,
yeah, that's a good point.
And it kind
yeah.
of, it's hard. But then once you actually start talking to somebody, then they open up just as much as you do.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get through.
Well, let me put this on the record. When Rose and I become these big famous podcasters, like when we're so famous, like, people have to make appointments to see us. We will never shun any military brats out there. I promise you. We will. That's on record. Okay. So.
That's wonderful. And this. You know, and I mean, I'm not famous by any stretch of the imagination, but like when people write and call, I'm like, you know, I've got like the film that I'm working on now, it started because a brat called and said, hey, I live in Denver and I'm getting ready to write a book. And can yeah. I take you to lunch and, you know, and just ask you questions. I'm like, sure, whatever, you know.
You're and famous to us. You're famous to the punk brats.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like we mentioned on the top of this interview that, you know, it's an honor to talk to you. We've been wanting to talk to you for a while now. So it's we appreciate that you took the time to, you know, accept yeah. this interview. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little more about you growing up, your childhood days? Like, you know, this is all about us being brats. So is there anything unique that you that comes to mind that you can think of that happened when you were a military brat that was so out, like far
maybe
out?
Maybe a unique experience or yeah. just whatever.
Well, it's interesting. I felt like we were very lucky because we got to live in a lot of small bases. Mm-hmm. You know, like even we were in Bad Kreuznach, Germany when I was a little kid, and I think it was third, fourth, and fifth grade. The only story I remember then was I don't know why I used to get in fights with people when I was a little kid girl. You know, I was just like this tough little kid. And there was this girl across you know how in the military you have the kind of a square and then you have in between the housing, you have the big.
Yes,
you
know? I know exactly what
oh
you're talking
God,
about.
Oh, my God. That's so yes,
okay,
I
so
do too.
For whatever reason, I don't know, some girl and I were like mad at each other and we were like fighting, you know, as much as a fourth grader fights. And uh-huh. my parents called her parents across the quad. It's like, hey, the girls are fighting. You want to come over for a drink? So they came over and they watched the fight. And afterwards, they're like, who won? And both of us were like, I won. And yeah, I loved Germany and I loved traveling in Europe and still do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guess and my third grade teacher was one of my favorite teachers. She was an art teacher. And we got back together when I was making the Bratz film, when I was out in the, you know, taking it out on the road. And I wrote her a note and I said, I know you don't remember me from Adam, but you were my favorite teacher when I was a little girl.
Aww.
And she wrote back and she says, I know exactly who you are. And you are one of my favorite students. And your parents were really nice to me back then. And they knew my family, my mom and dad. And I guess they went to parties together or something. And we ended up being friends, you know, from that point on until she died. And it was really wonderful. I loved living in San Francisco. That was one of the favorite places, which was the least military. We lived on Fort Mason.
Yeah.
Right next to Ghirardelli Square, and went to a public school in San Francisco and loved that. I loved that it was the thing I love most about being a brat is the diversity of people and backgrounds and where they're from and even religion and race and all that stuff. It was exciting
yeah.
to meet people that were new and that did different things and lived different places. And yet we all had things in common. But mm-hmm. and when I interviewed this girl, I think it was Olga Ramos for the Bratz film, she made it clear that military brats were not a melting pot. We were a big salad bowl.
Oh, I love that.
Everybody. And I love that.
Oh, you know,
it was just like, it wasn't that we were all trying to be the same, is that we appreciated each other's differences.
I like that. I'm stealing that. I love that. Yeah.
I love that. A great big salad bowl. And that's how I felt in Korea. Korea really was a wonderful place for me. I mean, it was kind of crazy. You know, I was there from like 73 to 75 and it was like wild and it's like Korea is nothing like it is today.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a third world country back then and we were wild teenagers. Now it's just, you know, it's such a first world, beautiful, you know, but back then it was pretty. I'm not saying that, but it was just more wild.
No, we totally get what you're saying. Our mother is going this year to go back and visit and our father. And so I'm looking forward to my father bringing back a lot of pictures and updating us on where we grew up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We were actually there during the same time, except we were in elementary school. Lisa mm-hmm. and I were at Seoul American Elementary School. Yeah. So you were in high school at the time.
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe our paths have crossed, maybe in the commissary or PX.
Or you went to school with my sister. She was, did you ever know a TISA? TISA?
No, I don't remember. But
TISA, Lisa, no.
TISA, Lisa. Yeah. She was a little kid then.
Okay.
So, you know, it was just amazing. And I remember going back in 2007, I was invited back to show the film. And we showed the film in the old Quonset Hut movie theater in Daegu.
I love that.
And all the kids came, you know, even though there are parts of it that are you know, are kind of tough. But it was amazing and then I went and spoke in like all the classes and we had little discussion groups. So
yeah,
it was a wonderful way to circle back to where you came from.
You know, this whole interview so far, you know, even though we're all different ages, everything you've said, everything from the houses to being wild and being fun and, you know, just having your squabbles with the little spats with your middle school friends, I relate to everything you said.
So. Yeah, me too. It's amazing. It's like I said in the past, you know, we all have shared experiences.
Guess what, Rose?
What?
Guess the time it is. It's time for the lightning round. Yeah. Lightning round. I love this part.
Yeah, I do too, because it's the part where we get to kind of know our guests a little bit more. I'm just going to ask you some random questions.
Nothing
difficult. Just, you know, whatever comes off the top of your head.
Yeah, and say pass. If you don't know the answer, say pass and she can come back to it. But try not to stall. Try to go through it. Let's see how good you are.
I'm listening. I'm getting up close so I can really hear you.
Okay. This is going to be fun. Okay. First question, Donna. Place you've never visited that you would like to visit?
Africa.
Question number two. What is your favorite movie genre?
Drama.
Okay. Question three. Cats, dogs, or both?
Oh, nice.
Cool. Number four, what is your go-to snack?
Oh, anything with salt.
Okay. Number five, what historical figure would you invite to dinner?
Ames Baldwin.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Very cool. Number six, filming on a set or on location?
On location.
Absolutely. Number seven, time travel to the past or to the future?
Oh, to the future.
Fun. Okay. Question number eight, Kindle, audiobook, or a physical copy?
I used to only read books, but now I can't even survive without a Kindle.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. Number 9, what is the last movie you saw?
Oppenheimer?
Okay, I saw that. That's a good one. And our final question, holidays in the sun or snow?
In the sun.
Me too. You had to, she got through the lightning round. Yay!
Yes. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. You had to think about that last one.
I know. Well, I live in Denver, you know. It's like, I do like the snow, but...
True.
I actually like lakes. You know, lakes in the mountains in the summer.
Right.
Yeah. We actually ski Colorado every year as a family. We go to Beaver Creek.
And, oh, really? Well, the next time y'all are here, call me and we'll go out.
We'll be there this year. We've already made the arrangements. My husband always makes sure he takes care of it in January. So we have a place and we're there. He's a big skier.
Okay. Well, let me know. You're welcome anytime.
Well, oh my gosh. Fun. Well, Donna, thank you so much for being with us. Rose, I mean, do you have any last minute questions or?
No, but I think now would be a good time to let Donna plug anything that you want to share.
Absolutely.
With our audience and
yes,
maybe
please.
A place that they can see the film or, gosh, have we even said the name of the film? I don't even know if we said the name of the film.
You know what? Donna, do your commercial right now. Here you go.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Brats Our Journey Home, and it's a 90-minute documentary about growing up military and the life and legacies of growing up military. And you can find out about it at www.usabrat.org or bratswithoutborders.org. And some of the non-brat stuff that we do, you can also find out at blindturtle.org.
I like that.
I've been working on a film about the criminal justice system for the last 7 years as well. So that you can find out about it, Blind Turtle.
Yeah, and if you type in Donna Musil's name in Google, it brings you up with all your work and all that. Oh, yeah, I Googled you.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Yeah, you can find out on those websites everything we do. You know, we started the nonprofit in 1998, and so it's been going quite a long time. Just a lot of things for brats, you know, from young to old. And thank you
Donna,
for what you do for... your community as well and your culture. And I really appreciate you guys, you know, getting out there and doing it. It's because I'm old and it's time to pass the baton.
No, Donna, we're military brats. We're ageless.
You know
what? And the fact that you know what? Really quick, we don't have much time, but when Rose and I, we helped to coordinate a meeting, back in the day and, for our Zama, Camp Zama reunion. And we really intended it to be like our class, like 89, 87. We had folks who graduated in 1971, 72, who heard about the reunion, and it grew from this one little small idea to we had, what, Rose, 100, 150 people?
Over, yeah, about 150 people.
And for then, Camp Zama. It was awesome.
It was really cool.
So
it was a lot of fun.
And I would encourage people to go to reunions if they can.
Yeah,
even if they don't know anybody that's there, it doesn't even matter. Even if you didn't go to that school. Just go and connect with other military brats or TCKs. And I guarantee you'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I Rose, agree. It's that time.
I know. This is the part where we say see you later because we don't say goodbye. Don't say goodbye, brats.
Okay.
We say see you later.
See you later. Thank you for having
Donna,
me.
Donna, see you later. Thank you so much. What a great interview with Donna.
Yeah, that was really cool. I know I would have hung out with her in high school.
Yeah, and she's really creative, and I just really like that she just went for it. Like, she had an idea in her head and created it. So, y'all check out her documentary, Brats, Our Journey Home, and she's on Facebook as well. So, so if you want to reach the Punk Brats, email us at info@punkbrats.com. We'd love to hear from you. Call us. You might be on our voice message at the end of a podcast. The number is 512-254-5989. Or learn more about the Punk Brats at punkbrats.com. Wow, Rose, that always goes by so fast.
That went by really fast.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess this is where we have to say those words.
See you later.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Hello, Punk Rat. My name is Lucas. I'm from Austin. I was just wondering, were there ever any moments living on base where you felt threatened or nervous? Thank you.